Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End, this first podcast dedicated to Watford women. My name is Kieran and I'm flying solo on this podcast. Few of the lads away from home, few of the guys gearing up for the fixtures coming up this weekend. So I've just got home from London Colney. I've just been to Watford's training ground where the women were training this evening ahead of their opening fixture of the Barclays Women's Championship season at home to Durham, kicking off at midday at Wealdstone Football Club. Big season ahead for Damon Laffrope and his team, having just been promoted from the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Of course, had that amazing win on the last day of last season in the Women's National League playoff final against Nottingham Forest at Milton Keynes Dons. And what that means now is that Watford go into a very competitive division, in my opinion, the most competitive division in the women's football pyramid. The Barclays Women's Championship has a number of established clubs, a number of them also full-time, unlike Watford, who are semi-professional and operating on a part-time model. I had the opportunity to go to London Colney this evening, speak to Damon Laffrope, the head coach, and to dynamic midfielder Dre Georgiou, who was player of the match in that playoff final against Forest. Opportunity to get their insight into the new season, how pre-season's gone, how new signings are settling in, and of course how the players from last year are looking forward to this upcoming campaign. So first up, managed to speak to head coach Damon Laffrope and opened with asking him about whether he actually did celebrate after they won the National League playoff final, because beforehand when we spoke to him, he told us he was going to be pretty chilled out about it.
We enjoyed ourselves, I'll say that. We had a good night out after, which the girls fully deserved, and the staff. Yeah, we enjoyed that, and then it was pretty much back to work. A couple of days later, we was already playing catch up, because obviously with it being extended and a lot later than the championship season had finished, we knew we couldn't hang around too long. So yeah, we enjoyed it for a couple of days. I think it's important to everyone had a little break and holiday, but it was pretty much back to work, yeah, pretty quick.
Do you have to do two plans? I know that sometimes I've heard managers talk on the men's side of the game that when you get to the playoff stage, it is so late into the season, you're almost having to make two plans. One is for if you go up, and one is for if you stay in the same division. Is that the sort of thing that you had to do, kind of planning for both outcomes?
Yeah, 100%. We'd highlighted players for both circumstances, and we had that sort of, not in place, but we had a good idea of who we'd want to go after, depending on whether we won or not. And then also sort of finding out what we had to work with, because obviously our situation was, like, financially and things like that would have been dictated by what league we was in. So all those questions could only be answered once we knew where we stood. So as soon as we found out, it was try and catch up as quick as we could, really. And we're very pleased with what we've done so far.
What does that planning process look like? You win that match, you have the celebrations, you have that euphoria, and then, as you say, it's back to work. What's the kind of initial plans that you have to lay out? What are the first things that you're kind of looking at?
The first things, obviously, are players. There was, unfortunately, players that we didn't retain, and we have to do what's right by our players first and foremost. So let them know as soon as possible what our plans were with them going forward, or give them the best chance of finding another club if it's not with us. So yeah, the first thing we'd done very, very soon after the game was address all of our players, meet all of our players, and then it was about sort of identifying the list that we put together for whatever league it was going to be that we was going to be competing in this year.
What are you looking at when you're trying to build a squad for a division above? I said in a podcast on the weekend that I think the Women's Championship is probably the most competitive in the women's football pyramid. It's a challenge, isn't it? Because you've got some teams that are well established in that division. What are the things that you're looking at so that you can compete from the off?
Lots of considerations, to be honest with you. For us, it's the profile of player that we're looking to bring in that sort of meets what we want to do and the way we want to play. Also considering that we're the only part-time team in the league, so a lot of players are kind of out of our reach, or there might be a small sort of niche for us to go and get players that can't be full-time or don't want to be full-time anymore. So it's identifying those players as early as possible to give ourselves the best chance. But yeah, they're things that we'd try to get a head start on planning before we knew the outcome, to make sure that the process was as smooth and as quick as possible.
Has there been any conversations or are there any plans in the pipeline for the team to go full-time? I know that the licence criteria for the Women's Championship is that it's semi-professional. You don't have to be full-time. Certainly when it started out, the vast majority of the teams were part-time semi-professional, but as you just outlined, the majority of them are now operating on a professional full-time model. How are Watford going to be able to try and keep up with that? And has there been any discussions about potentially going down that road sometime in the future?
I think that very soon it will be a non-negotiable. I think the way the game's going, and like I say, you only got to look at the rest of the league, the numbers that have gone from either a hybrid or a part-time model into a full-time is, like I say, it's everyone bar us at the moment, and I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few years they make it a non-negotiable that it's a full-time league, because it is very, very close to being sort of seen as elite level football. It's everyone's livelihoods in the league, so I would expect that to be something that comes in the next few years. And from our perspective, there's lots of considerations. Yes, of course we'd want to be full time, but it's got to be sustainable for us, and to move too quickly and push things on when we're not maybe ready for it could be more detrimental than good. So we all felt after meetings, after discussions, that we was going to try and operate as the most professional part-time model and try and make that work in our favour. Like I said, there are quite a lot of players out there that are of a certain age or they got good day jobs, and financially it doesn't work out for them to give that all up to be a professional footballer, and they're the players that we're sort of targeting, if I'm being honest. So yeah, like I say, I think we want it to be sustainable. I'm sure that in the future the talks for going professional and taking that next step will happen, but right now we feel this is the best way to operate with what we've got to work with.
Players have come in from, I think, London City Lionesses, Crystal Palace, Charlton. You also managed to nab the top scorer from the Southern Division, Carly Johns from Oxford United. Did you get what you hoped to get going into the new season in terms of that player profile?
Yeah, we did, if I'm being honest. From the original list of top targets that we put together, we managed to get a good number of them. We missed out on a few, obviously, because they're good players that we're going after and they're very sought after. Even the players that we managed to get had plenty on the table that they turned down to come to us, and that's a real big positive that they look at us in that light and they see the potential of joining Watford and where it can take them. But yeah, like I say, it's very competitive out there. We're surrounded by a lot of good football clubs and you're all competing for a similar group of players, but we're really, really pleased with the business that we have managed to get over the line.
One of the things you took advantage of towards the end of last season and what you've taken advantage of this season is the opportunity to sign players on dual registration. You signed three players from Arsenal. I'm going to ask about one specifically in a minute, but what's the benefit of that kind of setup, and what do you hope to get out of those players? Because they're young, and I'm sure it's a combination of them trying to contribute to the team but you also developing them. But what's the benefit of a player coming in on a dual registration?
The benefit is we get a very, very high quality of player that is not going to be at this level for long. The three that we've managed to get from Arsenal have got seriously bright futures ahead of them. We know that Arsenal hold them in very, very high regard, and the benefit from Arsenal is we can give them something that right now at the moment they can't in first team exposure, first team environment. So it works really well for both clubs. Arsenal trust us with their best players, their best young talent, which is something that across the last year with the players like Araya, like Ellie Head, Ruby Doe that come in, they come in and they felt like they developed with us. They felt it was a good environment for their players, so they want to sort of build that relationship, as do we. And like I say, they're top talent. They are the future of the game, in my opinion, and to have them for however long we get them is only going to help us.
Can I ask about Michelle Adjumang, because second top scorer at the UEFA Women's Euro Under 17 tournament earlier this year, already played in the first team at Arsenal. How exciting is it to have a player like that who, I know, speaking to some Arsenal fans, have real high hopes for her in terms of what her future looks like at that club?
Yes, it's again, like I say, it's brilliant for us. We met all the players. We made it very clear sort of how we feel we could help them, and on the reverse, how they can help us. And they'll all over the season play a real big part for us. And like I say, it comes down to the relationship with Arsenal. They wouldn't, those three players could have gone to a lot of clubs in this league, and the fact that they're comfortable sending them to us is a really positive sign. And now it's our job to give them that exposure when they're ready and when they earn the right, which is really important for them and for us. They don't get no special treatment. They come in, they're one of the squad, and they wouldn't want it any other way. But it is a very competitive level of football, and they'll benefit loads from it.
Talk about development of players. How about development of you yourself? You are still a young coach. You're still relatively new to the women's game. What are you hoping to achieve in terms of how you want to develop yourself over the next sort of season?
Yeah, I make no secret in saying that I want to try and go to the very top of the game, and I want my players to think this exactly the same. We talk about ambition and sort of aiming really high all the time, and I learned a lot last year, and I made mistakes, and we've created an environment where it's absolutely fine to make mistakes, because it's an opportunity for us to learn and grow and get better from it. And that's exactly the same for the players. Why I think they all feel comfortable when they're out there on the pitch, and that process is never going to change. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to get everything right. As long as we can acknowledge it, learn from it, and grow from it, we'll all become better for it as a team and individuals.
Well, the goals for the season, I mentioned very competitive division, some clubs that are well established in this division. You are the new kids on the block, having been promoted. What are the goals? What are the ambitions for this season?
I don't think it's going to be any secret in saying that it's going to be very, very tough for us. Odds are probably stacked against us from everyone on the outside looking in. Like I say, coming up from the league to getting relegated this year for the first time ever, competing against full-time clubs with big, big budgets. But we have a very ambitious group. We went and targeted players that are used to winning football matches. Every single player that's come in and joined us in their previous clubs, they're teams that have been successful at the top end of whatever league they were in. And we feel like that kind of mindset and mentality is going to really help us. I think we'll surprise quite a few people this year. That's not us expecting it to be easy. We know it's going to be tough. We know that there'll be difficult times. But we're just going to take it a game at a time. We're not going to show too much respect to the opposition. We're going to go and be us. We're going to trust that over the course of a season, if we do things properly and we show the courage and bravery that we did last year, it will serve us well.
Opener against Durham takes place a week after Women's World Cup final, which obviously the Lionesses were part of. I want to speak positively and what the impact potentially that could have on Watford moving forward, the women's game, but I guess disappointing, taken out of your hands, taken out of the club's hands, that the opening game kicks off at exactly the same time as the men's game. The men's game was obviously moved for Sky Sports. You're playing Durham, and I know from experience that when Durham comes south, the games tend to kick off a bit earlier because they've got a massive trek to go home afterwards. But that must be disappointing, because you would obviously have liked to try and capture the momentum of the Lionesses in the final last week to try and get a few for your first home game.
Yeah, in an ideal world, they don't clash, but this is one game in a whole season, so we're not upset about it, to be honest with you. We hope that over the course of the season, the fan base grows like it did last year. We hope that the exposure of the World Cup means that more fans want to come along, young families want to come along, and I'm sure they will. And like I say, this is just one game in a 30-something game season, so we'll get this one out of the way, and then, like I say, hopefully that the fans haven't got the choice to pick one or the other. So yeah, not a big deal in our eyes.
How much did you enjoy the World Cup? How much did you kind of look at it from a domestic game perspective of, obviously, in England, a successful England team generates interest and it could potentially translate into the domestic game?
Yeah, massively. The exposure's class for the game, and rightly so, because the levels are going up and up every single year. I don't think you can compare where it was in 2-3 years ago to where it is now, and that comes down to the success of the Euros, the World Cup, and the amount of people now that are paying attention to the women's game. So it's only going to benefit us. It makes it more competitive, and it's sort of opening everyone's eyes up now to the level of football that is being produced in the women's game, and I think it's only going one way, so it's only going to benefit us.
For listeners of From the Rookery End who maybe haven't been to a Watford women's match before, tell them now this is your chance to pitch and market the team, the league, the game? Why should they come along to a game this season?
I think I'm a football fan myself, everyone is, and any football fan just wants to see whatever players are wearing their shirt give everything they got, and that's what you get with these girls. You'd have seen it last year, or anyone that had exposure to it last year, they care, they'll give everything they got for the shirt and each other. And I think anything otherwise, like that's the bare minimum that you should expect. They try their absolute best. Sometimes it don't come off for us, but I think if you're a fan going home, or you're a player going home, if you know you've given everything you've got in your tank, then you can look yourself in the mirror at night and go to bed with a clear conscience. It's a great environment as well, I say that. My kids love coming. I've got two girls, they love coming along. It's a real family environment where you get to watch the football, but it's an enjoyable day. It's a little day out as well. So, like I say, and they play a nice brand of football I'd as well, a brave style of football. So it's an entertaining day. It's a really enjoyable day for families and for young children and kids in particular. And like I say, you'll see them give absolutely everything for the shirt, for sure.
Damon, thanks for your time. Good luck this season.
Top man, thanks a lot.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
So that was Damon Lathrobe, clearly looking forward to the season ahead, but under no illusions as to how difficult it's going to be to try and compete with some of those more established clubs in the division. But of course, we know that Watford will give it absolutely everything under his leadership. Well, after speaking to Damon, I had the opportunity to speak to Dre Georgiou, as I mentioned, player of the match in that playoff final last year, a player who I think fans have taken to because of her tenacity and, of course, her love of a challenge in the middle of the park. So I spoke to her about how the feeling is in the camp going into the new season and how much she's looking forward to a return to the Women's Championship, having played there previously with Crystal Palace and London Bees. So here's Dre. Okay, Dre, I want to look ahead to the new season, but I want to go back to the playoff final against Nottingham Forest, because you were named player of the match. Mm-hmm. But we asked Damon before that fixture how he would celebrate. He was pretty chill. He said he wouldn't go too mad. I've just followed up and asked him how it was. He said we had a good night. Now I can't ask the manager for details, so I want to ask you, what happened that night after you won?
We had a good night. the gaffer said, we had a good night. We made sure we celebrated. Obviously when we won the league, we couldn't celebrate fully because we still had to go and play the playoff final, and obviously once we conquered that and we won, we went and celebrated as a team out in London, obviously, and that's all I can give you really.
What happened in London stays in London, right?
I can't tell you who was the last one standing.
I will not drop anyone in it. We won't drop anyone in it. But I mean, how much did that mean? I literally mentioned it before we came onto the recording, onto the interview, that you have experience of the Women's Championship. You've played for Crystal Palace, you've played for London Bees in the division before, but how much did it mean to win that game? As you say, you won the championship. You can't fully celebrate because you've then got this playoff match, which is all or nothing. What was the relief and what was the feeling after you won that match?
Obviously, our main aim as a team, we set them at the beginning of the year, and obviously we all agreed that we wanted to get promotion. It's a long, old season, and obviously people don't quite understand that when you're trying to win a league, it comes with a lot of pressure. More than that, it's just, it basically takes over your life really until the season's done, and like that's all we try to aim for. We did quite well in the cups as well, but I guess the main aim was to get promoted, and here we are back in the championship. And yeah, it's a relief really. It felt surreal for a few weeks, if I'm being honest. We won the league and then we obviously had to still play playoffs, so it was quite surreal for a while, if I'm being honest. And then now we've finished pre-season, it became real really. Seeing the shirts again with the championship logo on it, and little stuff like getting better players in probably that we wouldn't have signed if we was a league below. And now, yeah, we had the whole squad in at the start of pre-season, so we've had a few weeks to gel, and to be honest it looks really, really good, and I'm just excited for Sunday.
And even in that year that you've been away, obviously had last year in tier three, I know from working in the women's game and my time working in the Football Association, the Women's Championship has even changed a lot in that year that you're in the third tier, right? You've now got games on. I mean, the games on the FA Player have been there for a couple of years, but there's now like a weekly Women's Championship highlight show on the platform. There's more attention. You've now got a title sponsor in Barclays. Obviously, they were the Women's Super League sponsor, but now they've come on board to do the Championship as well. It's a competitive league, but it's a league that's generating more interest, isn't it?
Yes, the women's football's expanding a lot, and it's very good to see. And now the World Cup's just happened as well. We're hoping that it will be even better this year, and just so on, it will get even better within a few years. But like you said, it's changed a lot within a year. But that year was good for me personally, just to be consistent with my performances and start to get a bit of confidence that probably I was lacking beforehand. And now, yeah, like I said before, just being in the Championship really was an achievement that we as a team set out and achieved it. And yeah, it's good to see that so many faces have been kept as well within the squad, and some good additions have been added.
I'll ask about the World Cup in a bit. I asked Damon about that as well, but you mentioned there about rebuilding confidence coming to Watford last season. Based on that, how much are you chomping at the bit to get going and really establish yourself and establish the club in the Championship?
I feel like football is a confidence game with every player. If you're confident, you're playing at your best. And I feel like last year, like I said, was important for me to gain my confidence. And I had a very good season last year. And I'm just hoping that this year I can stay consistent with it and be a key part of the team and hopefully bring the goods for the team, really.
Tell me about the makeup of the squad this year. Obviously, you mentioned a number of players have re-signed to play this season. You've had players, I think you will know Coral Jade Haynes from your time at Crystal Palace. Harley Bennett's coming from London City Lionesses, a few players from Arsenal and dual registration. What's it been like pre-season? What's the atmosphere like in the squad?
As you just named a few players, if you watch Championship football, then you would know that they're two very good Championship players. And like I said, if we didn't get promoted, we probably wouldn't have signed those quality players. And it's good to have them here. Played with Coral before at Palace, and Harley obviously was captain at London City, so it's also good to have her leadership on and off the pitch. Damo made sure that we had a squad before pre-season even started, so we came in on day one and was all in as a squad. And I feel that that's important, so we get time to gel. And we've had a few weeks now that we can start. If they hadn't played that style of football, they can learn to play it almost. And it's important that we're all on the same page. And yeah, and like I said previously, it looks very, very good. From pre-season games, it's only got better, and I feel like we're in a good place now to get going on Sunday.
But enough of those players have stayed on, players like yourself, to kind of keep that core of the team that was promoted, so that you can keep that camaraderie and that environment that you had from last year too.
Yeah, so I think that that's important, that we still have the core of the team still here. And I feel like recruitment was smart last year, because we had Championship players that had played in the Championship in the Premier League last year, in the National League, sorry. And it showed that we had that quality on the pitch, and that's why we did so well last year, because we had Championship players playing in the league below. So this year was almost like the transition back to Championship, and then just a few additions to the team. But yeah, it's good to have all players, well, most players still with us, and yeah, the quality really shows.
Helen Ward retired. She's been on this podcast a number of times. She's now the general manager. Can you tell me how different that is with her now in an administrative role? Is she more bossy? Is she as bossy as she was? Is she actually easier on you guys and puts an arm around you because of the role she's got? How's that different?
Helen always, well, it's only me and Helen that used to talk in the group chat, so I'm a bit devastated, to be honest, that she's left the players chat. But
she's been kicked out of the players chat.
Yeah, she's been kicked out of the players chat, and we're the only two that used to reply to each other's text messages, so I'm a bit gutted on that hand. But I think that she's the right person for the role, and she's quality person on and off the pitch, now off it. But she knows what the club needs and what's needed in women's football, so I think she's the right person for it. And well, she don't let me take any more kit than she gives out, but we can work on that.
She was one of the more experienced heads last season. Gemma Davis is another one. We mentioned players with Championship experience. I mean, Gemma's played at international level, Champions League, you know, she's played in the United States. How important is it not just to have those young players coming in, and the core of the team is quite young, but to have someone like Gemma who now that Helen is not on the pitch, to have her experience kind of maybe giving a bit of guidance?
I think Gemma Davison's a great person. Like you said, she's a leader. She's not only a good player, but she's a lovely person off the pitch as well. And she's a leader. And we have a few others, like Megan Chandler. She's our captain this year. And, you know, sometimes it's not about who wears the armband, but it's about how you are on the pitch to try and help those younger ones around you. So Megan leads by example in training, on the pitch when we're playing matches, and we just need the older ones to almost guide the younger ones through. So yeah, I feel like everyone does quite a good job of that, and it's good to have that around the younger lot, just so they can kind of learn but also have us to put their arm around them, sort of thing. I like to say I'm a leader, but I'm a bit harsh with how I say it. But you know,
do you act like you tackle, Ray? Is that what you're saying? Because you like a tackle, don't you?
I love a challenge. Yeah, I love a tackle. Yeah, I get a little bit hot-headed, if I'm being honest, but it comes from a good place. It comes from a very good place. And yeah, it's all about if it's taken in a good way off the pitch, should be completely fine, because it's a sport that is quite frustrating, and no one should ever go off and be upset by anything that's been said, and they should just take it on board. And yeah, and I feel like the squad here is almost very good at that.
Damon said that a lot of the clubs around the league have signed, you know, players with WSL experience. There are some experienced players that have come into the division, but he said we have to maybe operate at the opposite end, where we're bringing in young talent, we're bringing in players who maybe haven't had the opportunity elsewhere. And but he sort of said that kind of creates a hunger maybe that the club will benefit from. How have you seen that with the players that have come in, but also the makeup of the squad? Because I mentioned it is a young team.
I feel like we've signed some experienced players in the Championship, which is good. And like you just mentioned, having the younger generation come through, it does create hunger for them, because they obviously want to prove themselves and show what they're about. And I feel like the three Arsenal players that we've got show real quality in training, and to be honest, you would not know that their age that they are. And they do show a different side to football. They show the physical side and the quality, if I'm being honest, you wouldn't tell a difference. And I do think the two combinations together really works, because you need to have fresh legs. And yeah, I feel like it's a good combination between the two, if I'm being honest.
What's the goals for the season? You know, kick off against Durham, opening game at home. What are the team's goals, and have you got any personal ones?
For me personally, my main goal always every season is to just be consistent with my performances. As a team, we're not just coming in to survive. Survive is not a word that the gaffer wants in his vocabulary. So we're looking to make a statement, really. We're aiming high, and hopefully we bring through with the goods.
11:30, 11:45 on Sunday, before you head out of the tunnel onto the pitch, what's booming out of the stereo?
Well, Dizzy Rascal. I love a good Dizzy Rascal. I'm not sure if the new ones really accept it, but we're going to go for Gemma Davison on the speaker with Dizzy Rascal bearing out, and we're walking out ready for a fight and a battle.
I mean, it's going to be a challenging season, I appreciate that, but how much are you looking forward to it? And I asked Damon the same question. If there are listeners who've never been to a Watford women's game before, why should they come down? What are they going to get from you, the team, and you as an individual?
I think the fans are a big part of us. It's like our 12th man, really. That really showed in the cup final and the playoff final. We could really hear them, and it does get us going. I mean, for me personally, when I hit a big challenge or I hear clapping in the crowd, it just gets me fully pumped. And even just seeing family and friends in the crowd and, you know, seeing them happy and smiling. And if I'm being honest, it's going to hopefully be nice weather, a good game on their hands, and hopefully one where we can bring 3 points home.
And the game's a week, last one, the game is a week after the Women's World Cup final, which obviously the Lionesses competed in, unfortunately fell a little bit short. But from a player perspective, how much buzz is there around the women's game at the moment, based on how well England have done, and generally where you've been involved in the game for a few years now? But in terms of that growth over the last few years, especially in the last year since the Euros was won and the World Cup final last week. What's the buzz like, and how much of a feel-good factor is there in the women's game at the moment?
It shows good quality within the women's game. Some that obviously we still have the hate on Twitter, on any social media platforms, just comparing to the men's game. But as you can see, women's is completely different, and we show pure class, or we show a different side to men's football, really, in terms of we do it because we love the sport. Not saying that they don't, but I'm just saying we do it because that's, we've known no different. So we're just expecting the game to get a little bit bigger now, and hopefully bring the younger generation and the little girls who thought that probably football wasn't an option, and now it is massively. And hopefully everybody's raring to go like I am just after the World Cup final.
Dre, I'm looking forward to lots of wins this season. I'm looking forward to lots of tough challenges. Good luck this season.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We're the Orns. You're the Orns. Come on, you Orns!
So that was Dre Georgiou. And yes, we have found out finally that the players did indeed go out on the town after the playoff victory against Nottingham Forest, although less forthcoming about who the last player standing was after the party wrapped up. Really good to hear from both Damon and Dre. Clearly a lot of good feeling within the squad and around the club, and they're going to need that because it is going to be a really, really challenging season, and it starts with that game at midday at Grosvenor Vale this Sunday. The same time as the men, obviously we spoke to Damon about that. Really disappointing that a week after the Women's World Cup final, we find that the women's team potentially looking to try and capture the momentum of the Lionesses getting to that final and trying to encourage fans to come to the game, not in a position to do so because of the clash with the men's team. Fans now in a position where they have to choose the men or the women, which isn't a nice position to be in if you follow both clubs, which we know some fans do. But get behind them. We certainly will be this season. We will be doing a podcast on From the Rookery End on the women's team every month. So we'll be checking in with the players. We'll be checking in with Damon. We'll be attending some matches. We hope to see some of you there as well. The boys will be back on Tuesday with the weekly podcast focusing on the men's team, who obviously play Blackburn Rovers this Sunday at Vicarage Road, our third home game under Valerian Ismail, and looking to bounce back from that defeat against Stoke City. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. Thank you for tuning in to this first From the Rookery End dedicated to Watford Women. I'll be back in a month to update on how the team have got on in their first few fixtures of the new campaign. Until then, come on you Orns, and come on you Golden Girls.